Deep within Segmentum Ultima lies the infamous death world of Catacan. This world is famed for two reasons. Firstly, for the unbelievable resilience and heroism of its jungle fighter regiments, who are forced to endure trials of nature which are second to none in their innate danger throughout the galaxy. Secondly, the planet itself is infamous for the sheer hostility of its wildlife, with the dense jungles being filled with all manner of deadly man-eating predators and creatures which will not hesitate to release clouds of poisons, noxious to even a space marine if they are disturbed. Catacan is classified as a death world, a near inhospitable planet which is so dangerous to humans that the Imperium will usually refuse to fully colonize or settle upon its surface. Nevertheless, humans are nothing if not resilient. And so, a hardy population has now found their niche beneath the savage canopies of its jungle. The hostile environment here is deadly in almost every aspect. The climate is unbearably and swelteringly hot, which is made all the worse by the constant humidity caused by the staggering density of the jungle. The animals themselves, whether they be predator or prey, are equally deadly to humans, posing a great risk to any who would leave the safety of their bunkers. Even the plant life has claimed thousands of lives, be it due to the poisonous secretions of a loose vine or from the toxic spores released by dense fungal colonies. Before we begin to discuss the wildlife, it is worth noting that, despite all that we are about to discover, human life has still found a way to thrive here. The Catacan jungle fighters are second to none in the skilled art of jungle warfare. They are a regiment of tough and resourceful warriors who are incredibly adept at missions of ambush or trapping and are equally skilled in navigating the most hostile of environments, thanks to their experience upon Catacan. If any non-native humans were to venture through the thick undergrowth, then doing so without the accompaniment of a jungle fighter would be to sentence yourself to death. Even with a knowledgeable guide, you must keep your wits about you, for if you let your mind stray for but a moment, then rest assured that the jungles will quickly envelop you and you will never be seen again. The first species to discuss is one of the more infamous and well known from the myriad of deadly creatures found upon this world, and it is known as the Catacan Devil. The jungles are simply teeming with these gigantic scorpion-like arachnids, which grow to such lengths that they seem to resemble a hideous centipede more than anything else. They have claimed the lives of many who were either too arrogant of their own abilities of navigating the impenetrable labyrinth of the jungle, or of those who were too ignorant of the primeval horrors ever lurking within its Stygian shadows. Their bodies are made up of a series of segmented sections, consisting of dense muscular flesh, which are each encapsulated by enveloping plates of a chitinous exoskeleton. From each body segment protrudes a pair of legs, with each set becoming slightly longer than the preceding pair, resulting in the legs at the creature's rear being almost twice the length as the first pair. Xenobiologists have concluded that this is likely to ensure that the legs do not collide whilst moving, allowing the devil to smoothly scuttle through the foliage of Catacan in the hunt of prey. As a devil grows from its larval stage, it will continue to form new segments and will grow new legs during this process. This can result in adult specimens possessing up to 30 sets of legs, with the largest of creatures being measured at around 30 meters in length. Despite their size, they are deceptively fast, being able to rip their way across the thick jungle floors just as quickly as they are able to race up the tallest of trees to catch any prey, which erroneously believed that safety was to be found in the high canopies. At its posterior, the devil has a long segmented tail which ends in a sharp and poisonous barb. It is worth noting that the toxins produced within this barb are so virulent that they are to be considered as a poison rather than as a venom. It does not need to be injected to be deadly. And so, if even a drop of its secretions were to land upon one's skin, then it would quickly be absorbed and would cause a rapid but still painful death to the poor victim. The front legs of a devil are no longer used for movement and have instead adapted into something akin to an extra jaw, being referred to as the creature's forcipules. These protrusions have grown into vast pincer-like appendages, which are used by the creature to pierce and subdue prey before dragging them towards its gaping mouth. As the Catacan devils grow older, these forcipules also continue to swell and enlarge until they resemble gigantic claws, more similar to the scything talons of a larger tyrannid bioform. Colloquially, devils which have grown large enough to possess these claws are known to the local jungle fighters as fiddlers. But do not let the innocent name fool you, for the insectoids only grow more dangerous with their increasing size. Their maws are filled with lengthy, razor-sharp teeth. However, some subspecies have been recorded as possessing but a single large, pincer-like claw for a mouth. These predators have been noted to consume any and all prey they can catch, with their digestive organs secreting such potent acids that they can reduce even rocks down to but a sandy loam. Catacan devils are incredibly territorial, but form strong social bonds with one another. Their nesting groups often consist of dozens of fully matured devils, with even more juvenile devil-spawn insectoids scuttling about their brood. If any foolish intruders were to venture into one of these nests, then the entire arachnid group would come together to defend each other, almost certainly resulting in the violent deaths of the meddlesome interlopers. Some xenobiologists have speculated that these creatures are descended from an early tyrannid biofleet, and that they have since become cut off from the hive mind, only to adapt to Catacan, where they have evolved into their current state. It is perhaps ignorant to assume that just because we have identified a ferocious insectoid creature, that it has any relation to the tyrannids, especially in a galaxy as vast as ours. However, if those academics want to waste away their days playing with theories as baseless as this, then by all means, let them flail and grasp at such an unfounded idea. It is seen as somewhat of a rite of passage for the jungle fighters to kill a Catacan devil. For if one was able to slay such a terrifying creature, then how could they fear any of the other horrors found throughout the galaxy? As somewhat of a polar opposite to the Catacan devils, we now come to one of the most innocent looking of creatures, the great barking toad. Whilst they appear most assuredly unassuming, and to some perhaps cute, even if it's in a rather ugly way, the barking toad is widely considered to be perhaps the single most poisonous creature in the entire galaxy. From but a glance, one would disregard the toad as being nothing but a normal amphibian. Whilst they are rather rare, if one was seeking out a barking toad, then they would simply need to look underneath some dark rocks, within a dense swamp, or perhaps in some quiet, damp cave. They grow to a modest size of around half a meter in length, and may weigh up to 5 kilos, but do not let its size fool you, for that is not what makes this toad so special. If a barking toad feels threatened, then it will simply explode, releasing a vast cloud of noxious poison, which is so deadly that it will kill even an Astartes enclosed within power armor. The cloud is truly immense, with some toads being reported to have exploded, leaving a toxic haze with a radius of around a kilometer, essentially creating a zone of death around its body. This ability is thanks to an internal gland known as the crepitus, which undergoes a self-destructive process called autothysis, when the toad feels threatened, resulting in the massive and toxic explosion. It is rather odd that a creature's defense mechanism would also result in their own explosive demise. However, we must acknowledge that despite the occasional kilometer-wide explosions which occur, life on Catacan continues to thrive. Even if it is not entirely clear to us, the toad, along with its unstable and tremendously hazardous defensive mechanism, fits into the rich tapestry of life upon Catacan, just as much as any other creature on this world. The poisonous cloud will reduce all life within it to a noxious sludge, a paste of biological matter which taints the ground for years, ensuring that not even the hardy Catacan vegetation can grow upon it. Clearly, this is rather a valuable substance, but none have been able to isolate the toad's poison glands or even keep a creature in captivity due to its tendency to explode at even the faintest hint of a threat. Now we have a rather unique piece of biology to discuss, the Catacan face eater. Whilst wildly difficult to initially classify, we can now be sure that this is a creature which has disguised itself as a piece of plant life. Their appearance ranges from area to area, with some resembling a large flat leaf, and some appearing as an uninteresting sheet of moss. Regardless of their form, their habitat is within the trees, where they will hang from branches several meters above the jungle floor. To the untrained eye, they simply resemble the other flora found upon Catacan, and without prior knowledge, none would suspect their horrific nature. They will stay in place for months and even years at a time, in between feeding, but when a prey creature walks beneath them, they will be poised to pounce. Their body is almost entirely muscle, which allows them to spring forth from their place of hiding, where they will latch onto their victim's face and entirely envelop their head. From here, the digestion process begins immediately. Not only does the face eater adhere itself so tightly that the victim cannot breathe, but it will also start to secrete powerful acids, which will rapidly break down the prey creature's face into a nutrient paste, which the face eater will greedily absorb. After feeding, the face eater will then lay a clutch of eggs within the victim's skull before quickly separating itself from the corpse and returning to its place of hiding, where it will rest and await its next victim. The remaining eggs will rapidly hatch within only a few hours of being laid, and the maggots which emerge will consume the rest of the victim's corpse before swiftly maturing into juvenile face eaters, where they will scatter forth into the jungle to continue in this hunting strategy of horror. In addition to these rather large and easily identifiable creatures, Catacan is the home to countless billions of small insects, parasites, and pests, which have proven themselves as being deadly enough to fill the nightmares of the jungle fighters sent out to patrol the Stygian night. Many of these hardened soldiers would much prefer to fend off a raging Catacan devil when compared to the mysterious and downright horrifying of life forms to be found lurking within the thick muck. This is primarily due to the fact that if they lose their engagement with a devil, then at least it will kill them rather quickly. But with the endless tides of insects, terror only knows of how long it will take for them to painfully devour you. The first of these I shall mention will be the blood wasps. These flying pests will only grow to around the size of your thumb, but to underestimate them would be a most grave mistake. To examine one up close, you would note their crimson abdomen, with the pigmentation likely being sourced from their preferred diet of hot flesh and blood. Perhaps most notably on these wasps would be their markedly enlarged mandibles, which are surprisingly sharp for a creature of this size. Protruding from their rear is a modestly sized stinger, which contains a venom potent enough to paralyze the small rodents of Catacan. All of these features together are somewhat interesting from an anatomical perspective, but it is their feeding behavior which has earned them an infamous reputation upon the death world. The wasps will fly in great buzzing swarms, with some being so vast that they can create huge shadows beneath them as they weave through the dense foliage. When they locate a prey animal, they will fall upon it in a maddening frenzy, with their venomous stings incapacitating the small creature, making it utterly helpless in defending itself against their gnashing bites. For humans who fall victim to such attacks, however, they are far less fortunate. The venom is not nearly potent enough to paralyze us, and so it simply causes an extreme burning sensation, which has been known to persist for weeks on end if the person survives. Their mandibles, on the other hand, are more than sharp enough to cut through our flesh, allowing the wasp to burrow itself down to the very bone, where it will voraciously feast upon its rich, bloody surroundings. Such is the ferocity of these insects that it has been noted that a swarm can reduce a human down to nothing but a skeleton in the space of one solar hour, and rather horrifically they will do all this whilst you are still alive. The next insect to discuss would be the small arthropods, which have been colloquially named as heretic ants. To quickly dispel some rumors, there is nothing about these insects which has any relation to the malign hellscape of the warp. They have simply been given this name due to their propensity to first attack a victim by biting at the physical soles of their feet, and not because they can somehow claw at our own eternal souls. In any case, these creatures would appear no different than many of the other ant species of the galaxy, being rather small with a dull black carapace. However, it does possess one rather distinctive feature. It would be easy to distinguish a heretic ant from some other species due to their incredibly large mandibles, which protrude out from their heads just below their relatively large eyes. Now, the bite itself is just barely strong enough to pierce human skin. However, it is the venom behind this bite which has given these ants such a terrible reputation. If a person is bitten but one time, then they will go into a state of shock, requiring medical supervision for around a month until they have recovered. Two bites, however, and they will need to immediately seek a specialized facility, or they will likely not live to see tomorrow. Finally, to be bit three or more times is to be a certain death sentence, with no known cure being available for the poor afflicted soul. Another one of the more harrowing of creatures would be the vein worms. These tiny parasites have unfortunately found humans to be an excellent host for their reproductive cycle, and most will be completely unaware that they have become a victim until it is far too late for treatment. The nocturnal worms will emerge from the waterlogged soil before wriggling and crawling their way towards even the faintest detection of heat. Unfortunately, this source will often be from a sleeping jungle fighter. Once it has squirmed its way onto the poor individual, it will secrete a numbing slime from two glands found near its mouth, which will completely dull the local area to the sensations which are soon to transpire. The worm will then slowly chew its way through the numbed skin before burrowing its way through your musculature until it finds a rushing vein to call a home. Once within, it will latch itself onto the inner vessel walls, where it will enter into the terminal stage of its life cycle. Over the course of the following weeks, the worm will release a continuous stream of eggs into the victim's blood, which will circulate around the body, where they will be able to silently permeate every organ system before they finally start the process of maturation. For the afflicted individual, death is now an absolute certainty. Once the eggs burst, the tens of thousands of larval worms will feast upon their fleshy surroundings, utterly devouring you from within. For now, this shall conclude our tour of Katakan. These creatures are but the smallest of representation for the sheer vastness of life found on this world. We will soon return to discuss many more of the bizarre and deadly life forms to be found here, as well as to delve into some of the pernicious plants and fungi found within the depths of the jungle. While it may seem impossible for humanity to find its place upon this world, it has still overcome the dangers and has done so with the knowledge and preparedness that comes with understanding the threats which we may face. One way or another, we have found a way to adapt to the jungle, and the humans upon this world now play a role within its ecosystem, just as vital as any other organism.